We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4 this morning. So if you could open up to Matthew chapter 4, that'd be great. If we haven't met, my name's Jeremy. I'm the youth pastor here. Welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm glad you're here. And I hope that God speaks to you through Matthew chapter 4 this morning. But before we start reading that passage, there's a story I want to tell you. Because growing up, I played paintball a few times. But I never played paintball enough to actually be good at it, right? So I was the guy, the kid in the back, hiding behind the nearest bunker, scared to death, heart racing, and then every once in a while I'd work up enough courage to like peek out a little bit and shoot some paint, and then, right? I was that scared kid in the back, and I remember that there's a lot of people that are good at paintball, right? And so if you're the scared kid, you're really scared of those people. And one time we were playing this game called Capture the Flag, and the way it works is I would be with my team on this side of the field, and then there would be a bunch of bunkers that you could hide behind in the field, and then on the other side would be the other team. And right there in the center of the field, there would be some sort of flag. Now, the goal of the game was for someone on our team to make their way up to the middle of the field, grab the flag, and bring it back to our base, in which case our team would win. And there were some people there that, like I said, are very good at paintballing. And what some of them would do is they would work their way up to the middle of the field, and then they would wait for it to be a little quiet, and they would set down their paintball gun and just, boom, take off running for the flag. And they would grab the flag and just book it back to the base, trying not to get hit. And I'm the scared kid in the back watching this all happen, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. If the paintball game is going and I'm on the field, there's no way you're going to get this gun out of my hand. No way. I don't care what you give me. I don't care what the prize is. This thing is staying in my hands. Because the moment you set the gun down and walk away from it, you have now made yourself defenseless. You've heard of the saying, don't bring a knife to a gunfight, right? I would like to extend that saying to say, don't bring nothing to a paintball fight. It's not going to end up well. Because the moment you lay your gun down, you have made yourself defenseless. What we're going to see in Matthew chapter 4 today is that we are in a battle. But God has not left us defenseless. He has given us a weapon to use in this battle. But just like the paintball gun, if we set that weapon down, or if we don't have it, or if we don't use it, then we have made ourselves defenseless. Because here's the thing about weapons. A weapon, no matter how powerful it is only useful to you if you have it when you need it, right? So keeping that in mind, let's turn our attention to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 1, and you can follow along in your Bible. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come before you this morning and ask you to speak to us in this chapter. Lord, what is it that you would want to tell each and every person in this room today? God, we know that you love each and every one of us in here. Even though you know that we are dirty and we are broken and we're messed up people, you love us right where we are. But God, you love us too much to leave us there. So I pray that you would work on our hearts and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the story of Jesus being tempted. And before I jump into talking about the weapon that God has given us to fight temptation, there's a few things that I want to point out to you about Satan's temptations. Because the fact of the matter is the same way that Satan tempts people in the Bible are the same exact techniques he uses to tempt you and I today. And so if we can identify some of those techniques, it'll help us to see Satan's temptations and equip ourselves to battle them. So the first thing I want you to see about Satan's techniques and Satan's temptations is that they're rigged. They're rigged. The Greek word that's used for tempt here means to solicit to sin. And so what's going on in Matthew chapter 4 is not just like a test in the way that you would picture your DMV test or your math test. Because take your math test, for example. Your math test is a fair tool that your teacher uses to answer a question like, do you know algebra or not? Did you pay attention in my class or not? Did you study for this test or not? See, it's a fair tool that is used to answer a question. And in fact, your math teacher actually wants you to pass the test. Even if you don't like your math teacher and they don't like you, they still want you to pass the test because if you don't pass the test, then you might fail the class and then they have to deal with you another year. Okay, so your math teacher wants you to pass the test. And in fact, most math teachers don't just want you to pass the test, they want you to do well on the test. And so they'll give you a study guide or say, hey, read these chapters. Here's how you can study for this test. What's happening in Matthew chapter 4 is not a test. This is a temptation. Because Satan is trying to solicit Jesus to sin. He's trying to persuade Jesus to sin or draw him into sin. In fact, Satan wants Jesus to fail. And he'll do whatever it takes to make that happen. If he has to lie, cheat, and steal to get Jesus to sin, no problem. He's willing to do that. And it's the same way when Satan tempts us. He'll do whatever it takes to make us fail. You have to know that Satan's temptations are rigged. They're not fair because he wants you to fail. The second thing I want you to see about Satan's temptations is that they're calculated. Just look at Jesus' circumstances here when the temptations start. First of all, he's out in the desert alone. He's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and so the scriptures say that he's hungry. And we all know that when you don't eat in a while, you start to get pretty low energy. So I'm sure after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus is tired. So he's alone, he's hungry, and he's tired. And then the temptations start. See, Satan waits for Jesus to be in this weak circumstance before he starts tempting him. And that's because his temptations are calculated. He wants to give himself the best chances possible of beating Jesus. It's the same way when he tempts us. They're very calculated when he tempts us. When I was in high school and in youth group, someone taught me this acronym, and the acronym is HALT, H-A-L-T. And the way you break it down is like this, that you are in a vulnerable position, and it's likely that Satan is going to start tempting you when you find yourself in one of these four circumstances. H-A-L-T, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. So when you find yourself hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, the word halt should just flash before your eyes because Satan is likely going to take advantage of your vulnerability and bring temptation. And it's a tool that you can use to remind yourself of that vulnerability so that you're not blindsided or taken by surprise, but that you can be aware and ready for Satan's temptations. Because Satan's temptations are rigged and calculated. But like I said at the beginning, God has not left us defenseless. He has given us a weapon to use in this temptation. And in fact, Jesus uses this weapon every single time against Satan's temptations in Matthew chapter 4. Let me read through the temptations one more time and read Jesus' response and see if you can catch what the weapon is, all right? Temptation number one in verse 3. Satan says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Temptation number two in verse 6, Satan says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answers, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Temptation number three in verse 9, Satan says, all this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. Jesus replies, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So what is the weapon that God has given us to fight temptation? It's the Word of God, the Bible, the Scripture, right? And notice that every single time Jesus uses it, it works. We get the same pattern three times in a row, and the pattern is Satan tempts Jesus. Jesus responds by quoting Scripture. Satan shuts up about the matter. He doesn't keep arguing. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, well, what about this? Or who cares if the Word of God says that? I don't care. He doesn't keep nagging Jesus. He's just shut down. And he goes to the next temptation. And then he goes to the next temptation. And then he leaves. See, Satan is shut down by the Word of God. And so we see that the Word of God is a weapon. And in fact, it is a powerful weapon. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes about the armor of God. It's these metaphoric things that we put on as Christians to defend ourselves and to fight against the schemes of the devil. And so he tells us to put on a helmet and a breastplate and a belt and shoes and take up a shield. And the last thing he says is, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so the Word of God is a sword. And expounding on that, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the Word of God is living and active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So the Word of God is a sword, and it is a powerfully sharp sword. So God knows that you and I are going to face temptations, but he hasn't left us defenseless. He has given us a powerfully sharp sword to fight with. So I got a question for you. Is there a specific temptation that keeps popping up in your life? You know, like a reoccurring battle with the same thing over and over again, and you look back and you realize sometimes you have won this battle, but a lot of times you've failed. If so, I encourage you to take up the sword of the Spirit, the sword that God has given us, and fight that battle. But just like I said with the paintball story, a weapon is only useful if you have it when you need it. So, take your Bible with you. Put it in your backpack. Put it in your briefcase. Take it to work with you. Have it in the car with you. When you go out to dinner, have it with you. Take it with you. Or download the Bible app. And then every time you have your phone, which we know is a lot, you'll have the Bible right there in your pocket, right? You can turn to it when you need it. And for those reoccurring battles, I encourage you to find verses in the Bible that speak to that issue, that speak about that sin and that temptation. And once you find them, highlight them, circle them, put stars and smiley faces around them. Put a post-it note right there so that you know when temptation comes, all you have to do is open up to the blue post-it note and you're going to get to the verse that says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. Oh yeah, that's right. And then other times you can flip over to the yellow post-it note and you'll see, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or impurity or greed, for these are improper for God's holy people. You know that it's just one flip away, and you got it right there. Or on the Bible app, you can highlight the verse, take a screenshot of it, and set it as your background. If the battle you need reminding, you could put it right there. And every time you pull out your phone, what you're going to see is the verse staring back at you that says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry, right? And just these good reminders, and you know that it's right there. And so having these verses marked out in your Bible or on your Bible app is kind of like having your sword in its sheath right there on your side, right? You know that when the battle strikes, all you got to do is pull it out and you're ready to go. Flip over to the correct post-it note and you're ready to go. But you know what's better than having your sword in its sheath? It's having your sword already in your hands. And the equivalent of that with the scriptures is having these verses memorized and locked in your head so that whenever the battle starts, you already have it in your hands. You're already ready to go. This is exactly the example that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 4. See, when Satan tosses up his first temptation, Jesus already has the sword in his hand. He already has these scriptures memorized and locked in, so he is ready to fight those temptations. And so the first one comes and Jesus hits it right away. Man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then Satan tries again with another temptation, but Jesus is ready for that too. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then the third one comes, but yet again, Jesus is ready. He has the scriptures locked in his head, and so he hits it again. You should worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, Jesus has his sword in his hand. And so whatever temptation comes, he is ready to fight it like that. So the word of God is a sword, but it only does us any good if we have it when we need it. There's one last thing I want you to see in this passage, and it's something that kind of tweaked me at first when I saw it. It's something that it took a while to wrap my head around it, and I had to study it and figure out what the smart theologians say about it because I just could not wrap my head around it, and that's this. Jesus isn't the only one that uses the sword in our passage, right? Look at verse 6, where Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." I think that Satan sees the power of the word of God against his first temptation, and he's like, whoa, that just shut me down. That is some powerful stuff that Jesus just used. Let me give it a try, right? And then he throws it into his second temptation. But then I look at this, and I'm like, okay, Satan quoting scripture? Come on. No way he quotes it correctly, right? He's got to take out some words or add in some words or take it out of context or something, right? And so I follow the reference, and I see that he actually quotes it straight out of Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. No words added in, nothing. Huh. Well, it must be taken out of context, right? This is Satan we're talking about. Well, the context of Psalm 91 is talking about God's tender care for his people. And so how much more does that apply to his only son, Jesus, right? The fact that he will take care of him. And so in verse 6, we have this. Satan, quoting scripture, God's holy scripture, he quotes it correctly, he quotes it in context, and yet he uses that to try to persuade Jesus to sin. Can you see how that kind of tweaks me a little bit? And so I'm studying this and I'm looking at the commentators and what do the smart people have to say about this because I cannot understand this. And we find our answer in Jesus' response. Look at what Jesus says immediately after that in verse 7. He starts off by saying, "It is also written." What Jesus is saying is, yes, Satan, that's true. And that's a promise and a scripture that I hold on to. That's something that I rely on. But we cannot forget to apply this scripture in this case as well. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. One of the commentators I was studying said it this way. There lies the secret of our safety and defense against all distorted use of isolated passages in Holy Scripture. Only as we enter into the unity of Scripture, as it balances, completes, and explains itself, are we warned against error and delusion, excess and defect on this side or the other. He says that Scripture balances, completes, and explains itself. When I started working here, I had a meeting with Chris, and he was asking me about, you know, parts of the Bible that I've studied, and I told him that in the New Testament, I had read through pretty much, I think, all the books from front to back in the New Testament and studied it. If you look through my New Testament, I got notes all over the place and highlights and stuff, and I feel pretty good about that. But then he asked me about the Old Testament. I was like, you know what? There's plenty of books in the Old Testament that I've never actually read for myself. There's a couple books in the Old Testament that I wouldn't even know what order they fall in or where to find them, right? And so he gave me the assignment to start in Genesis and start reading verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book through book in the Old Testament. Now, I had stayed in the New Testament for most of my life because I was like, you know what? It just applies to my life easy. I understand the New Testament. God speaks to me in the New Testament. So if something isn't broke, why fix it, right? The New Testament works for me. Why would I venture into the Old Testament? But what I have noticed as I have taken on this challenge is that the more I read of the Old Testament, the more I understand the New Testament. And that's simply because Scripture truly does balance, complete, and explain itself. And so when I hear someone latch onto just one verse or one chapter or one book and say, this is all I need to live the proper Christian life, you can pretty much guarantee that they're about to use the sword incorrectly. Because imagine doing that with a literal sword, saying, you know what, all I really need of this sword is the cutting part, so I'm going to get rid of the handle and just use the blade. Ouch. That's going to leave a mark. Or the opposite is also true. You know, the blade's a little harsh, so I'm just going to use the handle. Yeah, when the battle strikes, that handle's not going to do you very much good, right? And so it doesn't make sense to break apart and only use a part of a real sword in just the same way. It doesn't make sense to only use part of the sword of the Spirit to say, this is all I need right here. Because Scripture balances and completes and explains itself. We live in a culture where, sadly, people can and do take verses out of the Bible or just obscure verses and can pretty much get them to say whatever they want to say, right? They can find some obscure verse and take a part of it, pull it out of context and say, see, look at what the Bible says. And it wouldn't be hard for you and I, for everyone in this room probably, to go around and share an example of someone who has used this sword to do a lot of damage, to hurt a lot of people. And I think that's because the fact of the matter is, this is a powerful sword. But if you put a powerful sword in the wrong hands with the wrong motives, you can do a lot of damage. But just like the commentator said, the way we protect ourselves from the misuse of this sword is by spending time studying more of God's word. Allowing it to balance and complete and explain itself to us. Earlier, I had said how important it is to have specific verses memorized so that you can fight those battles, those reoccurring battles with the same temptations. If you have those verses locked in your head, you're ready to go. But please don't stop there. If all you do is rely on those couple of verses and latch onto those and say, this is all I need, you're going to have an improper, incomplete view of God and His Word. If you only rely on a certain part of Scripture saying, like I was for most of my life, all I need is the New Testament, right? It's what applies to me. This is all I really need. Then you're going to be missing out on the true power of God's Word as it balances, completes, and explains itself. This is a lesson that God's really been showing me in my own personal life. Just my need for Him to speak to me in His Word. How important it is for me to spend each and every day getting in His Word and allowing Him to speak to me and reveal Himself to me. saying, God, it doesn't matter what verse or chapter or book I find myself in. What I need is for you to speak to me in this. And the more I do that, the more I realize how much I need this in my life. More and more and more of it. Maybe that's something God's been showing you too. Just our need for his word in our lives. So once again, I want to ask you this question. Is there a specific battle, a specific temptation that is a reoccurring issue in your life? Keeps popping up here and there. And you look at it and you're like, man, I thought I beat this already, but here it is again. And you look back and you see you've beat it a couple times, but a lot of times you failed. Well, we already know that Satan's temptations are rigged and calculated. So the odds aren't in your favor. He's good at what he does. So I think it's time we stop trying to fight it without a weapon. It's too big of a battle to fight without a weapon or to say, you know what, I can do this myself and run around like we're on a paintball field with no weapon, just dodging paint. It's time that we take up the sword of the Spirit and fight those battles the way that God intended us to fight. Find verses in here to memorize and lock in your head so that when that temptation comes, that specific one for you, you're ready to go. You have sword in hand. You have it locked in your head so that you can fight that battle with the scriptures. But please, don't stop there. Don't stop at those few verses. Don't stop at that chapter or that book or that half of the Bible. Keep spending time reading God's word. Allowing God to speak to you and reveal himself to you in his word. From start to finish, he can do that. From Genesis to Revelation, he can speak to you and have a word for you and reveal himself to you. And what you'll notice when you start living that way, when you start memorizing scripture and spending a significant portion of your life in his word, carving out time every day to spend with him, what you'll notice is that you'll experience for yourself the true power of God's word, the way it was intended to be used. God, thank you for giving us this word. Lord, you have made it simple to know you and to know your heart. And God, it kind of embarrasses me to admit that I realize I don't spend enough time in your word. God, such a simple thing, and yet it's so easy to pack my day and forget to spend time in your word. So Lord, for us in this room, I pray that you would remind us how important it is to spend time hearing from you in your word. From Genesis to Revelation, God, wherever you want us to read, wherever you want us to speak to us, pray that we would spend that time with you. Lord, show us verses to memorize so that we can fight our specific battles. God, you have given us a powerful weapon, and I pray that we wouldn't neglect it. Lead us this week. Speak to us throughout the week. God, we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.